all corners of the world.
Out of the leaves, the universe, and everything.
Hello and welcome to the very first Leeds, the Universe and Everything. Basically, this is a podcast about Leeds, the Universe and, well, pretty much everything else as far as PR is concerned. I'm Sam Brooks and with me is Miss Rachel Harrison.
On this week's show, as it's our first podcast, we thought we'd go straight to the horse's mouth and speak to podcasting pioneer Karen Ainley about the world of podcasting and where it can be used.
Karen is co-founder of Mosaic Publicity in Colchester. She began as a reporter and in 1991 joined BBC Essex before moving to BBC Look East as a TV reporter and presenter. She is a podcasting expert and has written a mini guide to podcasting for the CIPR and worked with people such as 10 Downing Street. So, here's Karen.
Hi Karen, so can you tell us exactly what is podcasting?
Podcasting is a really exciting way of delivering information to people who subscribe using an RSS feed to a website. And that information is usually an audio file or a video file. And although you can download those normally, what makes it a podcast is the way in which it's delivered. And every time you create a new bit of audio or video, that's not a podcast. That's a bit of a misnomer. People get confused. That's just an episode. And what happens is the person who's creating that audio or video, every time they create a new bit of audio or video, a new episode, and load it up onto their website, it then automatically gets sent to those people who've subscribed using RSS. So that's what podcasting is.
Okay, so who started podcasting?
The two American guys who are credited with starting podcasting are called Dave Weiner and Adam Curry. And if you go onto the internet and Google them, you'll find all sorts of interesting information, especially if you go onto Wikipedia. It's very interesting because both of them seem to claim that they are the podfathers. There's a lot of great jargon in this business. And really, it's the two of them, 3 or 4 years ago now. One came up with the coding, one did a lot of the promotional side to it, and they're the guys that are credited with really pushing this out. But it's not really until iTunes got hold of the software and made it accessible to everyone. You can download that software for free from their website, itunes.com, that it suddenly became a lot more mainstream.
Thanks. And what sort of people are using it? What sort of applications is it being used for?
Well, the beauty of podcasting is that anybody can use it because it's so cheap to do. You can do it in your back bedroom, which means that everybody who has a voice or has an opinion can actually sit there and record their views and put it straight onto the internet. But it goes much deeper than that. There are a lot of organisations who are trying it for all sorts of reasons, really, to educate, to inform, to entertain. If you look at the mainstream broadcasters, they've pushed it out there, so people like the BBC, if you go on their website, you see a whole load of fantastic podcasts that they do, really chopped-down version of their shows, or even Channel 4. If you're looking at video, someone like National Geographic, but you've got a lot of universities who are podcasting or educational establishments because they see the value and merit of recording some of their seminars and lectures. And then if you go onto iTunes and look at their directory, you'll see a whole load of information like language courses. But you key in anything into their categories and you'll find something for everyone.
So, Karen, is it the people like the BBC that have made podcasting massive and really got it out there?
Yes, I think that is true to say that the quality stuff is really coming from those traditional broadcasters. But they've had to embrace this technology because they've recognised that in many ways it's a threat. For many, many years, we've had to rely on those mainstream broadcasters to deliver our messages, our audio and video messages, out to the masses. And of course, the beauty of podcasting is that you can narrow cast to a very niche audience. If you've got a particular special interest, like gardening, for example, you can then reach people who are specifically interested in that subject area. You don't have to tune in to a traditional broadcaster. And of course, if you're doing it in your back bedroom, you now don't need a big mast. You'd never be able to afford a mast or the licenses that go with broadcasting. Quite simply, you can just create some audio or video and put it out there onto the web. It's fantastic.
Fab. And what do you see it doing next? What's next for the big wide world of podcasting?
That's a really interesting question because for many people, they still haven't yet embraced it. It's still very, very new to them, new technology. And there are a lot of people still dipping their toe in the water. They want to be the first in their industry to do it. But for the future, where I think it's going is it will become part of mainstream marketing for many organisations. They will see it as a way of cheaply delivering information as part of their marketing budgets to a wider audience, or finding different channels, different ways to communicate, because let's face it, not everyone wants to read the written word. People learn in different ways. A lot of people like to listen to audio. A lot of people are visual learners and like to see it. I personally, you know, I really like to watch TV and learn in that way. But also, you look at the kind of applications. Tomorrow's world, if you remember that TV programme, is here today. People are now watching on small, whether it's an MP3 recorder or player, whether it's their, well, it won't be long before it's on their wristwatches, on their mobile phones, on their Palm Pilots, all these particular little gadgets that people are now able to download audio and video onto, and then go and watch it anywhere. Or even SwimP3, swimming goggles, where the audio is delivered through your cheekbones. Gosh, there's so many applications, and there'll be more to come.
Thank you very much for your time today, Karen.
That's it for our first edition. Please look out for, and of course, download every edition that we put online. Rachel and I promise to get better and better every time.
And finally, did you know that there are 26 CIPR-approved universities running PR-related degrees in the UK, making it a more competitive industry every year? And with this in mind, our next podcast will be all about bringing you the top 10 tips for getting graduate PR jobs.